you make $65,000 a year after taxes and have no children, you're in the wealthiest 1% of the global population. I am Rob West. If we begin to think of ourselves in the top 1%, how will that affect our financial decisions as stewards of God's resources? John Cortinez joins us today with some interesting insights about Jesus and the wealthy. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest today is my friend John Cortinez, the Director of Generosity at the McClellan Foundation and the author of two books on biblical giving. John, it is so great to have you here today.
Thanks for having me on, Rob.
John, you spoke at the recent Kingdom Advisors Conference and told an amazing story about some friends of yours and an inheritance decision they made. I'd love for you to start with that story.
Well, this was incredible. Yeah, I've got some friends who are a very sharp young couple in their 30s, and they got some news from his father that he was about to give them a huge multi-million dollar inheritance, which sounds kind of amazing.
Yeah.
But they'd been reflecting very carefully on money and their faith for months, actually, been on this journey with the Lord. And they ended up saying, hey, we're so grateful for this, but we're actually already okay. And we think if we got this money, we'd start to rely on the shifting sands of wealth for our security instead of the firm foundation of Christ. And wow. So, long story short, they worked with his dad to put that money to work in God's kingdom through giving. And I was just blown away by that decision. I'm not sure I would have done the same thing.
What an incredible story. And it really shows the kind of decisions we can make when we think of ourselves as already wealthy. Now, John, you talked about the three ways that Jesus interacted with wealthy people and how he seeks to interact with us today. So I'd love for you to share that with our audience.
Absolutely. So if we go through the four Gospels and find all the times Jesus interacted with a wealthy person, it happened more than you might think, and he had this amazing pattern that was three things: love, invite, and challenge. So for us in our wealth today, Jesus loves us, he invites us, and he challenges us. You know, Jesus also said you can't serve God and money, and if we think about it, money promises us pleasure, possessions, protection, position in society. But it can't give us those things in eternity. We have to look to God for that.
Oh, that is so true. And you called out the parable of the rich young ruler, where Jesus challenges the rich young ruler to sell all of his possessions and give everything to the poor. Now, Jesus isn't necessarily challenging us in that way, but how would you say he is challenging us?
That was definitely a unique challenge from Jesus to the rich young ruler. And he might ask you or me to do that, but we should note that's the only time in Scripture Jesus tells anybody to sell it all. Zacchaeus, as another example, gave away half of his wealth. Peter left his boats and changed careers to follow Christ. And Nicodemus spent a fortune on the burial spices for Jesus after the crucifixion to honor the Lord and go public with his faith. So I think the beauty of this is it will look different for each of us as we read Scripture, as we listen to the guiding of the Holy Spirit. But what we can be sure of is that God will challenge us to mobilize our wealth in this world to bless people and to bring him glory.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So, John, share with us just a few ways that we can use our wealth to honor the Lord and bless others.
Well, we want to invite people ultimately into a deeper right relationship with God and others. And I just share four quick ways where we can do that. Number one is family. You know, taking care of those we are responsible for is godly and right. Yeah. Number two would be generosity. You know, Scripture's so clear that we're called to invest money into God's kingdom work all around the world and in our local communities. And then third would actually be hospitality. In today's culture that's more and more isolated, it's a radical and good step to open our home and share meals with people and the love of God. And finally, this applies for some of us if we own or control a business. God calls many of us to employ others in a great job and a healthy, God-honoring work environment, and doing that is a godly and good decision. And each of these four are ways where we can use our wealth for the benefit of others, and that makes us richer spiritually as well. God is with us in that.
Well, we're just about out of time today, John, but I'd love for you to leave us with perhaps a practical way that people can learn more about biblical generosity.
Well, there's an awesome ministry that actually works closely with Kingdom Advisors, and they've got video stories of Christian givers and amazing teachings that could be an encouragement to anybody that wants to learn more. They're called Generous Giving, and if you just go to generousgiving.org, you can find dozens of sermons and stories and resources, and all of that is available for free.
Oh, that's incredible. Well, John, thanks for stopping by and challenging us with these insights you gleaned right out of God's Word. Grateful to have you, my friend.
Thank you, Rob.
That's John Cortinez, Director of Generosity at the McClellan Foundation. Again, if you want to check out that resource John just mentioned, go to generousgiving.org. Back with your questions after this, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The last letter from Jesus to the seven churches in Revelation went to Laodicea. This is the one most often quoted. Jesus is speaking to his church and says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." But what does Jesus mean by that? Biblical scholars believe that Jesus is talking about usefulness. Hot water is able to purify and make things clean. Cold water is refreshing, but lukewarm water? There's no use for it. It doesn't do anything. Likewise, the Lord is calling his church into action, into usefulness for the kingdom. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
I know darkness is in the world, but that don't mean I gotta kick over my front door and welcome it. Why would we continue to tolerate wickedness at any level? God knows the scope of your access and impact. He knows that. But he does expect you to be his ambassador in your world.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. That's right, we've got lines open. We're ready for you. The rest of the program is yours, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. In the news today, the median selling price of American homes has hit a new high despite a recent increase in mortgage rates to over 7%, as you well know. According to the real estate firm Redfin, the median price, meaning half of homes sold lower, half higher, reached $383,725 over the last month. The median asking price rose 6.7% to $415,925. And again, that's with an average 30-year fixed mortgage rate at 7.1%. So things are definitely not getting easier for prospective home buyers. Inflation and low inventories of homes for sale are keeping prices high, making homes unaffordable at a higher rate than ever. Nearly 30% of homes are still selling above the asking price, while only 6% are selling below the asking price. There's a good bit, maybe, of good news in this. New listings rose over 10% in the last month, and that could have a cooling effect on prices as the inventory of homes increases during the summer buying season. Of course, lack of inventory has been one of the key drivers in keeping the housing market where it is, despite these high interest rates, at least high, relatively speaking, based on the last 20 or 30 years. So interesting news out. I know it's challenging for those who own homes. Obviously, you're enjoying that that rise in home equity, especially if you have a low mortgage rate. Those entering, though, the housing market are really struggling, especially alongside other expenses up across the board. Interesting data that Bob Dahl shared with me last week is that he looked at a basket of groceries. If you take the same basket of groceries, a representative sample of a typical grocery cart, those prices during the Biden administration, 3.5 years, are up 21% over that period of time. If you go and look at that same basket of groceries during the Trump administration, 4 years, it was up about, less than 7% during that four-year span. So one up less than seven. This current period, 3.5 years, up 21%. That's real. And Americans are feeling that. That alongside significantly higher premiums for auto insurance, not to mention a whole host of other areas, including housing, is just making it really challenging, which is why it's more important than ever that you are creating a spending plan, living within your means, tracking the money that you're managing for the Lord, because you're a steward. And one way to do that, by the way, find the way that works for you. But one way is through the FaithFi app. It's what Julie and I use every day. At any time, I can tell you what we have left in any one of our digital envelopes, whether that's eating out or clothes for any of our four kids or, entertainment. All of those categories are there with a digital envelope. I can see in real time what's left, and so I can make changes throughout the month. Really important for you to stay on budget and have some margin, which is so precious for you to be able to accomplish your longer-term goals. So if you'd like to download the FaithFi app, check it out yourself. Do that at faithfi.com. Just click app. That's faith, FI.com. Click app or search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance, in your app store, wherever you download apps. All right, we're ready to go to the phones. We've got three lines open, perhaps one for your financial question today at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to North Carolina. Hi, Olga. Thank you for calling. How can I help?
Rob, it's such a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. I'm delighted to talk to you as well.
Yes, I have became a widow about 9 years ago, and ever since I've been listening to you and learning so much and trying to, actually, God has been such a blessing to me that I make very sound financial decisions as you guys teach us and guide us. So I really appreciate that. The help was enormous.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. That means a lot.
Yeah. It does. It helps quite a bit, especially for some of us who didn't deal with finances at all, which was my case. But I have $100,000 in cash right now, and I do not want to bet with this money. I've been saving it, and it's hard earned, and I want to do justice to it. I do not want to buy stock or anything like that. And my question is, I would like to put that either on the CDs, like short-term CDs, 7 months, a year CD, or a saving account, perhaps. And I go ahead and tell you, I did a little bit of a homework around my town, and regular banks do offer right now 4.7% on the CDs, or sometimes 5%. But my question is, are there online banks that do offer a higher yielding percentage? And I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit afraid of it. If it's not a brick and mortar bank, that makes me a little nervous.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose the money.
I understand, Olga. Well, first of all, thank you for your kind remarks about the program. It sounds like you're doing fabulous, and I love the way you're thinking, and certainly perhaps a combination of CDs and savings might make sense. This is the extent of your liquid reserves. Is that correct? You don't have an emergency fund separate from this $100,000.
I do have an emergency fund, and I do have a house. I have no mortgage. Thankfully, my husband paid off the house. So, and my food and my expenses are pretty all covered. So, this is the money that is a surplus that I can invest.
Great. And do you have at least 6 months worth of expenses in the emergency fund?
I do.
Okay, great. All right. So with the $100,000, you're free to put this to work. And there's a couple of ways you could do that, and keeping yourself on the very low end of the risk spectrum. If we talk about the backing of the full faith and credit of the United States government, that's as risk-free as you're going to get. Nothing is completely risk-free, but that's as close as you're going to get. And that would be true of high-yield savings with FDIC insurance. That would be true of certificates of deposit with FDIC insurance. It would also be true of U.S. Treasuries. So, for instance, you could buy a 10-year U.S. Treasury today, and you'll get your money back in 10 years. You could sell it before then, but you may sell it at a profit or a loss, depending on what happens with interest rates. But if you held it for 10 years, you'd get your full money, full amount back. And then every 6 months, they'd pay you the interest at the coupon rate, which today, I think the 10-year Treasury is at 4.6%. That's pretty good, especially for 10 years. Now, you may say, listen, that's great, but I don't want to be locked in for that long. And I realize if I had to sell a Treasury before 10 years, depending on where interest rates are, I may sell it at a profit or a loss, and I don't want to do that. So that's where CDs and high-yield savings can come in. Can you do better than 5% on CDs? You can, but not much. So if you have a local bank that's going to give you FDIC insurance at 5%, you probably want to take it. I mean, I'm looking at CDs right now of a year at 5.1, 9 months at 5.3. So you can maybe even get to 5.4, but you are going to be with an online bank, no brick and mortar, but they will have FDIC insurance. So I think given that you're finding 5%, I'd probably stay there. The same is true with high yield savings. Now, you may need to use an online bank to get the rate you're looking for on the high yield savings. Let's do this. I've got to take a break. We'll finish on the other side. Doreen, we're coming your way as well. Stay with us on Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. Looks like two lines open, 800-525-7000. Hey, let me just quickly let you know that AFA at the Ark 2024 is coming up October 31st through November 2nd. If you'd like to tour the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter, along with AFA Vice President Wesley Wildman and other AFA, part of the AFA family, if you will, from around the country, check it out today. You can register at afa.net/events. Just click on AFA at the Ark. If you've not been to the Creation Museum or the Ark Encounter, you don't want to miss it. Again, the date's October 31 through November 2nd, afa.net/events. All right, back to the phones. Before the break, we were talking to Olga in North Carolina. She's got an emergency fund. Her home is paid off. She's a widow. She's living within her means. Her husband and she handled God's money very wisely. She also has about $100,000 separate from her emergency fund that she'd like to put into something very safe. She was thinking about high-yield savings or CDs. She's found a local brick-and-mortar bank or credit union that will do 5% with FDIC insurance. And I was saying, you're probably not going to do a whole lot better than that, Olga, even with the online banks. Now, with the savings portion, if you did want to have something more liquid, whereas maybe you take a portion of it and put it at 7 months, maybe a portion at a year or 18 months, and you wanted to keep a portion completely liquid, that's where the high-yield savings would come in. That's where you're probably going to need to use online banks, you know, in order to get somewhere between 4.25% and as much as 5%. I'm comfortable with that because you could go with one that's close to 5-star rated. It would be FDIC insured. So there's really no difference in terms of, you know, even a brick and mortar bank can fail. We saw that, you know, with some of those isolated cases with Silicon Valley Bank, you know, a year or so or two ago. But the FDIC, the U.S. government stepped in, provided the liquidity, made the, you know, allowed the investors to or the depositors to get access to their money. And that's their job. That can happen with a brick and mortar bank. It can happen with an online bank. But as long as you have that FDIC insurance and you go with a highly rated bank, then I would be comfortable with you doing that so that you could get access to something close to or above 5%, even for high yield savings. But give me your thoughts on that.
I like that. I think diversifying a little bit, putting some there, some here would be good.
Yeah.
And just to see how it works.
Good. All right. Well, the place I would go to find that bank that's right for you is bankrate.com. You can search the CDs. You can search the savings options. Again, it's bankrate.com. And then you can compare that to what you're finding locally. If you want a bank that shares your values and even takes a part of their profits to support Christian ministries, you could check out joinchristiancommunity.com. That's the Christian Community Credit Union. I know more and more believers are wanting to align their banking operations and financial endeavors with organizations that align with their values. Join Christian Community would be a great option there as well. Olga, thank you for your call and for your kind remarks about the program. Listen, stay on the line. I want to send you a book. It's called Wise Women Managing Money. It was written by Miriam Neff after the passing of her husband, Bob. specifically for widows who now are taking sole responsibility for stewarding God's money. And I think it'll be an encouragement as well as really practical. So we'll send Wise Women Managing Money out to you. Stay on the line. We'll get your information. Let's go to Illinois. Hi, Doreen. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I enjoy listening to you as often as I can, and I'm just amazed at your continuous positive voice. It's very encouraging.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you for saying that, Doreen.
Yeah, you really have a lilt in your voice, and I know you love Jesus. And I'm going to cry because I've been crying about everything lately, but sorry.
That's okay. We allow that, too.
My question is very much like the person before me. We don't have that much. We don't have 100,000. We have a 20,000, which is our emergency fund, but it's only getting, you know, whatever it's getting at our credit union. And so I would like to use one of the high yield savings accounts just to earn more money that way. I've never done that. And as I was telling the screener, it just makes me so, every time I go, I get it all set up and then I back out because I just get nervous about it. But I've heard, you know, I just heard you say that it's safe. It's backed to pick one of the top ones. And, but again, it's very, so my question is, if I need that money, I can just transfer it back into our local bank here, that there's no...
That's right.
It's just like a regular bank. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And, you know, more and more, even with a brick and mortar bank, we're doing more and more business online. So, you know, there's really a difference between it being an online bank, which just means they have no brick and mortar operation. So you're doing everything over the computer. And the easiest way to do that is with an electronic link to your primary checking account. So that way, whenever you need money, you're going in, you're transferring money, and, you know, two to three days later at the most, that money's showing up in your checking account through what's called the ACH system, which is kind of the plumbing system of the interbank transfers that all the banks use. And so it's real simple to do. You could also get a debit card against it and go to probably a pretty massive ATM network, depending on which, you know, online bank you choose, and actually make a withdrawal using an ATM machine fee free. So there's that option as well. And so there's online banks, and then there's online banking, which that, you know, is being done with both brick and mortar and online banks. And that's just the, you know, the functions where you're going in and transacting business online. So you're using bill pay, or, you know, might be depositing a check through an app, a smartphone app. Well, that's online banking. You're probably already doing that. So, you know, I don't really think there's any difference with you using an online bank, especially if on your $20,000, you could get an extra $1,000 a year. So I'm on board with that, Doreen. And yes, you would just absolutely link it right up to your checking account and you could move money. Hey, you call anytime. You didn't cry. You were very kind, and I'm delighted to talk to you today. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Roe v. Wade is history, but sadly, the killing of unborn babies continues. AFA Action works to keep you informed on how you can help close legal loopholes and fight for the innocent. One way you can help is with your gift to keep AFA Action on the front lines in the battle for life. When you give, you'll also get free access to the Monica Kelsey story that details her mission to save abandoned newborns across America. Stop by AFAAction.net today. AFAAction.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, if you found value in this program, maybe you listen regularly. We've been an encouragement to you. You've found some advice that's been applicable to your life, and you just count yourself a part of the Faith and Finance family. Well, I'd like to invite you to take another step in that journey. As a listener-supported ministry, we can only do what we do on the air each day and so many other ways beyond these airwaves because of your generous support. And so there's a way you can stand with us as a FaithFi partner. These are the folks that have said, yeah, we're in the boat with you. We're a part of what you're doing. We want to see you continue and help more people with biblical wisdom around financial management. You can learn more about becoming a FaithFi partner when you go to faithfi.com and click give. At $35 a month or more, we'll send you a quarterly update on the ministry. You'll get pre-release copies of our studies, our Rich Toward God study, our new study on financial fear and anxiety called Look at the Sparrow will be out this summer. You'll get that first. You'll get our new study on Ecclesiastes next fall when it comes out. You'll also get a quarterly update on the ministry as well. Learn more and sign up today to be a FaithFi partner with a monthly gift of $35 or more at faithfi.com. Just click give. Again, to be a huge help to us, faithfi.com. Just click give. Thanks in advance. All right, let's head back to the phones. By the way, I've got 3 lines open. You can call right now. 800-525-7000. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Marilyn. Go right ahead.
Yes, I have a question. Both of my parents are in their 80s, and my mom didn't really work a lot. She stayed home with us. And then my dad worked, you know, worked a job for a long time. And someone told her that if something happens to him, she cannot draw his Social Security and that she wouldn't be able to draw his pension. So I didn't know if there was something that they could do about the pension so she could draw it since he worked all those years and made that money.
Yes.
Or
yeah.
If you could give me advice on any of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's not correct on the first part related to Social Security. So your mother would be able to draw what are called survivor's benefits if your father passes away. Now, right now, while he's collecting his benefits, she could be drawing spousal benefits, which is up to half of his benefit. Is she drawing spousal benefits today?
I don't think so.
Okay, so that's easy. And she could get, even if she doesn't have enough work record, it's not a matter of her having any work history. She just has the ability to collect half of his as what's called a spousal benefit. And that doesn't take anything away from his benefit whatsoever. That would just be incremental income. Now, if he passes away, she would then no longer take the spousal benefit, but she would get survivor's benefits, which is equal to his retirement benefits. So whatever he's getting today as Social Security benefits, she would begin receiving that as survivor benefits, and she would have to drop her spousal benefit because you can't get both. So today they could get both benefits. He gets his full benefit. She gets spousal benefits if she doesn't have her own work record equal to up to 50% of his. He passes away. She drops the spousal benefit, but she starts getting the survivor benefit, which is equal to his current retirement benefits. And then she'd continue to earn that for the rest of her life. Now, with the pension, that really comes down to whether there's what's called a survivor benefit for the pension. And if there is, then your mother would be eligible for that. So I would have them contact the pension administrator, or they could check the statements to find out if there's a survivor benefit. And that way she would at least know, is this going to stop at his death, or will I, as his spouse and survivor, continue to receive that? And it could go either way. It just depends on the pension.
Okay. Well, that's been very helpful. Also, someone told them the other day that there's a thing now where you have to apply for it. They don't just give it to you. It's extra $150 a month. Do you know anything about that?
What are we talking about, the pension or Social Security?
Social Security.
No, I mean, you know, a lot of times Social Security, will automatically kick in. In some cases, you do need to apply for it. And so I would call Social Security on their toll-free number, or you could visit the office. But, if she's not receiving that spousal benefit, then she needs to apply to get it because she's, eligible. If he's collecting benefits, as long as she's at least 62 years old, and if she's not getting it, she needs to apply to get it.
Okay, so since even though he's getting his Social Security, she can apply for what was it again called?
It's called a spousal benefit. Yep, spousal benefit. And she could... Go ahead.
What does that do to his?
It does nothing. No, that's just an additional benefit that's available to her as a spouse of a worker who is receiving benefits. So as long as he's receiving his benefits, and as long as she's 62 and preferably full retirement age 67, then if she waits until her full retirement age, he's collecting his benefits, she can get up to half of his as a spousal benefit, and that doesn't reduce his one penny. So she should do that right away. And there's even an online way to do that. So there's an online tool. If she goes to ssa.gov/apply, ssa.gov/apply, then she can apply for that spousal benefit, right there online.
Okay. Yeah, they're both in their 80s. So,
yeah.
Okay, well, great. Well, thank you so much. You've been very helpful.
Well, I'm delighted to. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Lisa. Go ahead.
Hi, sir. Yes, my question is, my mother has a home that is completely paid for, and on her passing, we were trying to figure out what is the best method for me to take over the house and it be put in my name.
Yeah. Well, there's two options. One is she leaves it to you in her will, and then you would get that. You'd get the stepped up cost basis, which just means whatever her cost basis is, which determines whether there's capital gains tax, that would jump up to the cost basis as of the date of death, which is a good thing because now there is no gain if you were to sell it, or at least when you do sell it, that cost basis is now higher, and so you're going to pay less tax when you sell it down the road if you do. Or she could put it into a trust, and you would get it through the trust. What's the difference? Well, with a will, it's going to go through probate. That can run anywhere from you know, $2,000 to $5,000 in court costs, and it's going to take perhaps, you know, a month, 2 months, depending on how complicated it is and whether or not it's contested, could take longer. With a trust, it's going to cost you a couple of $1,000s to create the trust, and then the property has to be retitled in the name of the trust. But then you would be able to get the farm or the property immediately. And it doesn't go through the probate court, and it's not a part of the public record, and there's no probate court costs. And you could even take over in managing that as the trustee of the trust if she's incapacitated prior to her death, whereas with a will, there's no triggering events other than death. Does that make sense?
Yeah, she had also wanted me to ask you about a transfer of death. Is that some kind of certificate?
Sure. Yeah. So let's do this. I've got to take a quick break, but we can talk about that right on the other side of it. There is something called a transfer on death deed, and I'll explain that to you right around the corner. And in Arkansas, we're coming your way, as well as Carol. Stay with us.
Today's issues, making sense of the issues of the day.
If Hamas wants a ceasefire, they could let the hostages go. Uh-huh. They've still got over how many? Over 100?
Just over 100.
I mean, Hamas slaughtered
1,200 men, women, and children.
On one day?
Yes.
Why aren't there protests for that? It seems like everything's supposed to be on Israel.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, Dr. Jessica Peck helps us understand the mental health struggles that young men face and how churches and families can step in.
I've been in pediatrics for 25 years, and I might have seen a mental health complaint once a month. Now I'm seeing them multiple every day.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. In our final segment today, taking your calls and questions, we've got, looks like, two lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before the break, we were talking to Lisa in Alabama. She has a family farm. It's owned by her mother. She's wondering about the best way for that to be transferred to her after her mom's death. We talked about a will. We talked about using a trust, both of which would transfer with a stepped-up cost basis, which is good for tax purposes. The trust would do that a little more efficiently outside of the probate court with less probate costs, and could be transferred if her mom is incapacitated prior to her death. The only downside is trust is a little more expensive, could run a couple of $1,000s or more to put that in place. You mentioned, Lisa, that your mom wanted to know about a transfer on death deed. This is where, without a trust, the home is put in the name of a transfer on death deed. So the deed would be updated with the county records office, and it's transferred outside of probate upon her death. The reason I didn't mention it, though, is the state of Alabama does not allow transfer on death deeds. So it's state by state. Some states do, some states don't. Alabama does not use the TOD deed.
Her farm is actually, we sit on the state line. Her farm is actually over the line in Tennessee. Are they the same as Alabama?
Okay. Let's look at that and see if a transfer on death deed is available. I'll have my team look at that and see. I believe it is.
I believe you can do it in Tennessee. No, I apologize. Tennessee is one that does not recognize TOD deeds as well.
Okay, then now I'll come tell her that then. And all right, we will look into that trust, and thank you for all your advice, and bless you.
You know what? And I'm seeing some conflicting information, so why don't you have her check with, and this is the challenge with doing this on the fly, why don't you have her check with a real estate attorney? I'm seeing that it does not, but I'm also seeing a one or two places that say they do. I'm pretty sure they don't, but it's worth you checking with an attorney. So the next step, I think, Lisa, is for her to visit with an estate attorney. You know, make sure she's got the healthcare surrogate, make sure she's got an up-to-date will, and make sure she's got, you know, the power of attorney in the event something happens to her. And at the same time, you could talk about the farm and what's possible there, whether you go will, trust, or a TOD deed, even though I think that's not going to be an option. Hey, thanks for calling today. May the Lord bless you. We appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to Arkansas. Hi, Ann. Thanks for your patience. How can I help?
I appreciate your program.
Well, thank you very much.
A couple of months ago, the company that administers my retirement funds notified me of a data breach, and they offered free monitoring through Kroll. I believe that was for 2 years, and I signed up for that. Well, this week, our bank has notified us of a data breach, and they are offering free data monitoring through a company, CYEX, for 12 months. I would like to know if they're a reputable company and if it's advisable to have two different companies monitoring you at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good question. Where are you in the Kroll free period? Are you still, do you still have a ways to go on that one?
Oh yeah. Well, that started just a couple of months ago, and it was for 2 years.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah. So, I mean, here's my position on this. I don't think, unless you've been the victim of ID theft or you have somebody who's willing to pay for it for you because of a breach, which seems like that's just kind of a rolling thing now because of how often that's happening. My opinion is there's no need to pay for credit monitoring as long as you're using best practices, checking your credit score, which you can do free now, creditkarma.com and even your website, your credit card. Many of them will offer that. You're checking your credit reports on annualcreditreport.com 3 times a year. You're not clicking on phishing links. You're changing your passwords. You're not, you know, doing financial transactions on public Wi-Fi like at a coffee shop. I mean, if you're doing those things, then, you know, I don't think you need to be paying for adding another subscription for credit monitoring. Now, the exception to that is, go ahead.
Most of these are free.
Yeah. And so for your case, I think absolutely somebody's offering it to you free. Why not have that extra layer of protection? Do you, you know, Kroll is very reputable. I'm not as familiar with, you know, CYEX. I know they are a legit company. I just haven't read any reviews on them. You know, does it hurt for you to have two? No, I don't think so. Although Kroll is one of the big ones. And so I think they'll probably be sufficient. But if they're paying for it, you know, at least the new one would continue after Kroll drops off because this is a new instance. So, again, I don't think it's a problem. Just make sure they're not automatically renewing it at the end of the free period. Then all of a sudden you're paying for something that you didn't intend to. Is it bad to have overlapping monitoring? No, I don't think so, as long as somebody else is paying the bill.
Okay. We have credit freezes with all three.
Good. Yes.
Credit bureaus. So is there any point in us getting our credit reports?
I think there is, because here's the thing. Credit reports on occasion will have inaccurate information. So even if, you know, somebody hasn't compromised your account by opening a fraudulent account, because the credit freeze should take care of that, because the lender won't be able to access the credit file to approve the loan, there could be inaccurate information on there and you just don't know about it. So I think, you know, at least a couple of times a year, I'd go to annualcreditreport.com, pull it, just make sure there's nothing out of the ordinary that you think is incorrect. It's less of an issue with a credit freeze, but I'd still do it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, Ann. Thank you for calling. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Florida. Hi, Karen. Thanks for your patience. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
So I received capital gain from property that I had put through probate from my deceased brother. And I need to know if I need to pay taxes on that capital gain, if it was from a deceased family member.
Yeah, so you inherited the property as a result of the family member's death, is that right?
Yes. To be totally honest, it was willed to his daughter, but she couldn't take it. She lives in Maine. And so I put it through probate and became the successor of the property.
Okay. So as long as you received it as a result of a passing through the succession process and the court was involved in that and you're the legal owner of it, then you got the stepped up cost basis. So the new cost basis was as of the date of death. And then are you immediately selling it or did you hold it for a period of time?
Yes, I had it for a period of time because it took time to put, and I was paying the mortgage and everything on it, but it took like almost a year to put it through probate. And then I just sold it last year. So I had it since 2019, I want to say.
Yeah, so you probably have some gains on it, and so you just need to establish that cost basis. Maybe you could get a broker's price opinion or, you know, some other way of establishing what was the market value as of the date of death. Maybe that was done as a part of the probate process, and then you could compare that to what you sold it for and determine how much gain you have. Now, whatever that gain is going to be subject to long-term capital gains rates as long as you held it for more than a year. Which you did. And what year did you sell it? Was it 23?
Yeah, I sold it, I believe, February of 23.
All right. And do you file taxes as a single person or married?
Single.
All right. And do you have income, adjusted gross income, not the gain, but your income, more than $44,000?
No.
Okay. So if it's less than $44,626, your adjusted gross income for 2023, your capital gains rate is zero. You don't get to the 15% rate, which is the next one up from zero, until you get over $44,625 in income.
Okay. Gotcha. That makes sense. Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. That took a load off my mind.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for your call today. We appreciate you being on the program. You know, folks, as we think about our role in managing God's money, I mean, ultimately what our goal is for us to see God as our ultimate treasure, that we would see our longing for abundance and fulfillment and purpose and meaning in God himself. It's not that he's the access to our abundance. He is our abundance. And then he gives us this great privilege, once we surrender our lives to him, of being stewards. Well, we're all stewards of what God has bestowed upon us, our gifts and our talents and our time, our ability to create wealth, the Bible says, comes from him, and the privilege of being his money manager. And so our goal is to be found faithful in that, and we do that by going to Scripture and seeing that, wait a minute, money can actually compete with our hearts, and we can make it the object of our affection, and that's not what it was created to be. It was created to be a good gift from God so we could provide and enjoy and give generously. And so we try to navigate all of these decisions every day, living within our means and avoiding the use of debt and setting some long-term goals, because the longer term the perspective, the better the decision we can make today, and having margin, some surplus, so we can fund our goals of giving more, paying down debt, or saving. And by the way, that margin or cushion is a key, the studies say, to getting past having conflict in marriage over money. It's not a matter of your income. It's a matter of whatever it is you're living below it. And then ultimately, it's about giving generously. Why? Because giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. It takes our eyes off of our own little mini kingdoms and raises our perspective, our sights toward the eternal kingdom, that which will last forever. That should be the object of our devotion. We can't serve God and money, but when we give, it allows us to participate in God's activity, and then the joy that follows is incredible. By the way, especially in these uncertain times, our generosity is a testimony to the world that's looking on to see how, as Christ followers, we're going to respond to the uncertainty and the chaos around this. Folks, I hope today's been an encouragement to you. I'm so grateful you've been along with us. Again, if you'd like to become a FaithFi partner, go to faithfi.com and click give. It'd be a real blessing to us here and our team. Thank you to my team today, Robert Youngblood, Devin Patrick, Jim Henry, and the rest of the team here at FaithFi. Have a great day and a wonderful weekend. See you on Monday. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.